Welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, back in the saddle. Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Joseph, welcome back. How's it going?
Oh, thank you. It's great to be back. It's going all right. Gout's not completely gone, but that's all right. We're getting there, man. We're getting there.
It's improved, would
you
say?
Yeah, it's improved. I'm wearing flip-flops today, so apologies to you. I'm not going to put my foot on this chair if I can help it. So,
Kuharski was not a huge fan of having sat in that chair the other day, knowing that your foot was in there.
I think I had a sock on my foot, though.
Didn't you did.
I, when I elevated I told him, it? Yes. Yeah, today I have no sock on the foot. I will keep it off Kuharski's little chair here then.
He was very upset by that.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I'm sure that really
warms my heart.
Sure, that really breaks you up over there. Ian Safar, how we doing? What's going on?
Oh, doing great, guys. Thanks. Looking forward to a fun show reacting to the busy weekend of hockey news and notes.
And that took another turn last night as well. We got a whole lot to get into on the Predators front today.
Ooh,
Corey
boy.
Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We will get into the NHL draft throughout the show as well and have your full reaction to the selection of Brady Martin at number 5 overall by the Predators with Porter Martone and James Hagans still on the board. And, Joe, I thought that's where we were going to kick things off today on the program. But, no, there was a trade last night from the Nashville Predators. And if you're just waking up, you may be just hearing about this. The Predators have reportedly, according to Darren Dreger, the first one to break this, traded for Nick Hague, a defenseman from Vegas, and sent back Jeremy Lozon and Colton Sissons to the Golden Knights. And not only have they made that trade, they have signed an extension for Hague, 4 years at $5.5 million. Now, Hague is a left-shot defenseman from Vegas. He's listed at 6'6", 245 pounds. So he is enormous. He is a massive mountain of a man back on defense. And from that standpoint, Barry Trotz has talked about wanting to get bigger on defense. And I remember kind of the moment he took over the job as general manager, talked about Vegas, their defense corps, and how big they were and how much that leads to them winning. So Hague is a massive human being that the Predators now have locked up for the next 4 years at $5.5 million per season. Now, my initial thoughts on this, Joe, the trading Lozon and Sissons part of it, I don't really mind. Like, Lozon had a lot of injuries last year, and, you know, when he's healthy, he's a fine player. But basically, I think they've swapped out what in a perfect world is probably a third pair defenseman in Jeremy Lozon, maybe a low two second pair defenseman. And they brought in Hague, who I think is probably still a third pair defenseman. And now Colton Sissons is gone. And, you know, Colton Sissons was a really good player here for a long time in the role that he played. But I think you can find somebody that plays Colton Sissons' role. The thing that's going to be interesting to me, and I think that Predators fans are going to spend a lot of time talking about today, 4 years at $5.5 million per season for Nick Hague. That seems like a whole lot of money for Nick Hague. And he doesn't score a whole lot. He's your classic stay-at-home defenseman. And there's nothing wrong with having a classic stay-at-home defenseman. $5.5 million per year is a lot of money for that. And I'm interested to see the one pause I have on that in terms of not just totally freaking out at that contract is we know that the cap is going up. And we know that some of these deals that are going to happen both this offseason and free agency and certainly in the next offseason are going to be – you're going to look at the money and you're going to say, good gracious, I mean, it's a lot of money. So that's the one sort of pause I've got from saying, good God, they just gave $5.5 million to Nick Hague.
Yeah, I get that the cap's going up, but you're talking about a guy who his AAV before this was 2.3, which seems more in line with what he is, a third-pairing defenseman. So the cap going up 2.3 to 5.5.
It's a heck of a jump.
I'm struggling with that one a little bit. I'm also like I totally hear you on what you're saying. I don't think the cost is bad in terms of the players going back, but I mean it does kind of stink that Colton Sissons is out of here. Yes, it's time, I think, for some young guys to be able to have a chance and have spots. But it's also kind of sad to see Sissons go. I mean, now you're talking about, you got three guys left from the glory days where he was the fourth guy.
I mean, he's probably scored the most important goal in the history of the franchise.
Right.
When you think about it. I mean,
and it was his third of the day.
Yeah, that depends on, I guess, your definition of it, because, I mean, there have been players that have scored goals actually in the Stanley Cup final, but his game in game six against Anaheim sent you there.
Got him there. Yeah. But so there's that's the sentimental side of it, but just the nuts and bolts. I don't get why, like, Nick Hague wouldn't have taken 3.5, 4?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I'll read you something that Adam Vingan just sent me, and it's from AFP Analytics, which is like it's just kind of a firm that focuses in on sports and all that stuff and analytics. And this is the kind of the blurb that they've put up about the Nicholas Hague contract. Quote, Hague traded to Nashville and signs a 4-year, $5.5 million contract. Good on him, good on his agent. We can oftentimes come up with comps to justify a deal, even if we don't agree with him. We couldn't here. Acquisition cost plus contract is really questionable for the team. That is the take from AFP Analytics that Adam Vingan has sent me, Joe.
Yeah, and I saw that tweet, and they have like a bunch of charts and graphs there too to try to give you like a comps, which of course again, like now look, I think you're right. You hit on something. Like, we're going to see other things, that are going to come that you're going to be like, oh geez, really? That happens. And look, in any sport, you know, sometimes you have, even though this is a trade, you have a sign, you know, it's a sign and trade, so, or not, you know, or it's a trade with an extension.
Right.
So it's like free agency, right, where sometimes you overpay. It just seems a little excessive here.
Well, and then you get to the structure of the defense, and it's like, okay, where's everybody playing right now? Now, the one thing to continue to keep in mind is, you know, free agency starts tomorrow. The Predators could sign somebody else in free agency, and there's still trades that could be made. So the picture is still probably not yet complete. But I'm looking at it, and it's like, man, it's got a ton of left-shot defensemen. And it's Josi, Shea, and now Nick Hague's in there. And I know they had Lozon in there too. But you've got, if Molendijk makes the team, that's a left-shot defenseman. Like, right now, their right-shot defensemen are Justin Barron and Nick Blankenberg. And Blankenberg, in my opinion, should be like your seventh guy. Like, I know it's a nice story last year with him and Brady Shea together. Like, I don't think Nick Blankenberg should be regularly playing for you this year if you structure your defense right. So we'll see. But they're just, first off, it screams to me that Josi's going to have to play on the right with things currently set up the way they are, which is fine. I think he can do that, but like, I think there are going to be a lot of question marks about Josi from a health standpoint heading into this year, both from, you know, can he not sustain another concussion, which is a huge concern heading into this year.
Right.
And now the POTS thing. Like, I have no idea how that's going to affect him. Like, the way that Barry Trotz talked about it the other day is he's progressing really well, and they expect him to be able to play and play at a high level. And, look, I hope that's the case. But, you know, he's never gone through this before throughout the NHL season. So I'm interested to see what that looks like. Bottom line is, even with Hague coming in, I still think there's a lot of questions on their defense right now.
Yeah. Obviously, right shot defenseman, I mean, that's a valuable commodity in this league. It's not a high supply anyway. Dante Fabbro, Alex Carrier, there's a couple guys who were.
Fabbro just signed a deal, by the way.
Right shot defenseman. Yeah, what, four years
at over $4 million, yeah.
He'd be okay. I mean, like, what is happening?
I don't know. Like, it's, Nick Hague just got paid more than Dante Fabbro. And they're completely different.
He's way bigger.
Players.
He's like, way bigger than him.
Different. But, man, just wow. And then there's, you know, the Noah Dobson trade. We talked about Dobson on Friday. And then later that day, he gets sent from the Islanders to the Canadiens. So there's another right shot hole that's kind of filled there. So
he would have been nice.
There are not a lot of options out there in terms of quality right shot defensemen. I mean, I guess if you're the Predators, you could get involved in the Aaron Ekblad stuff. But now, I mean, you've got Yossi at over $9 million. Shea at $7 million as I punch the microphone. Nick Hague's at $5.5 million. Like, you're already spending a pretty good amount of money on your defense right now, and that's without a quality right shot. So it tells me one of two things. Either they don't care as much about that as everybody else seems to, and they're confident that Yossi moving over to the right, and who knows, like maybe they look at Molendijk. He's like, well, he can play the right. I have no idea. Or they think Justin Barron's going to be really good next year. I mean, maybe that's part of it too. I know they like Justin Barron. I know they do. How much do they like Justin Barron?
Yeah, I'd rather spend zero money on Nick Hague and go get Aaron Eggplant. But are we considering them out? Because I looked at him as one of the guys. I mean, I think that's the guy that Florida is going to have to part with, right?
It's starting to look that way. Unless he takes just an incredible discount.
Yeah. And I kind of looked at him as maybe as good a target as there is for the Preds going into this. But maybe not now.
Well, I saw the price tag attached with that last night and I said, golly, $5.5 million for Nick Hague. So are you gonna go pay another defenseman on top of that? It just doesn't seem like it. Because there's still... If you're trying to improve next year's team, which, by the way, we've got some things to say on that later. If you're trying to improve next year's team, like, there's still, to me, some work you have to do at forward, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Look at their center ice right now. I mean, Trotz got on the radio last week with Stillman and said right now that Svechkov might be their number two centerman, which is good for him, but that doesn't speak well to winning immediately, in my book, unless he just takes an unbelievable jump from year one to year two. So
there's something else coming.
You would think,
right?
I mean, again, I said it last week or the week before. I can't keep up anymore. I always try to leave the picture. It was after they traded for Eric Hall. It's like,
yeah.
Well, until the picture is done, it's hard to totally judge it. But the Nick Hague move is very interesting.
Thanks for bringing up Halla. Halla and Hague, get excited. The Killer H's.
I mean, they do have all of a sudden a lot of former Vegas Golden Knights on the team.
Preparation Halla. H. Nashville.
Serial winners.
Yeah, Halla.
There we go.
Hague. Maybe he's just like, I gotta make Marchessault
feel
better.
Yeah.
Let's bring in all these Golden Knights. Marchessault, don't worry, buddy. We got you covered here.
He's happy now.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Your reaction to the Predators trading for Nick Hague from Vegas, Jeremy Lozon, Colton Sissons going back the other way, reportedly from Darren Dreger. We'll take your thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Preds make a trade last night. Nick Hague coming in from the Vegas Golden Knights, and the Preds signed him to a four-year deal at $5.5 million per season. And Colton Sissons, Jeremy Lozon, going back the other way to Vegas. Taking your thoughts on that move on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. One texter that says, the draft is one thing, which, by the way, we'll get to the draft here in a few minutes. But trading Sissons and Lozon for a worse version of Lozon and then paying the guy $5.5 million per year while Columbus played Fabro a fair contract, Trotz's decision-making is making this team worse. He needs to stop thinking with his coach brain, we're never going to compete, and this impending rebuild is going to be awful too. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah.
Matt says, good morning, boys. What a beautiful morning to feel bad about your hockey team. Is anyone going to be happy today?
Well, hey, Brian says, I like the trade.
Okay.
Hague is 6'6", 245 pounds, and he's also only 26. The Preds need more like him to pound the bleep out of opposing forwards and dole out concussions rather than sustain them. This is from Brian.
Okay. All right, $5.5 million. Dole out some concussions, please.
Here are some concussions that we would like you to hand out. Again, as I said, I really don't mind the change in of styles a little bit. Like, they need more guys on defense that can clear out the middle. Like, we've talked about that before. So that part of it doesn't really bother me. It's just the contract. It's 4 years and $5.5 million for this. And maybe this is just sticker shock that I need to get over, because this is just what you're going to see with the cap going up the way that it is. But I guess I need to see it first before I look at Nick Hague and I'm like, yeah, okay, that makes sense for $5.5 million per year.
Yeah. I mean, the underlying numbers aren't very good on him either.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, he's a third-pair guy.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
So.
And you can make, you know, you could argue back and forth on Lazan. I think on a good team, Lazan is also probably a third-pair guy. I know that he and Carrier played well a couple years ago,
they played above his level, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, on a really good team, if you're going to compete, Lozon's probably a third-pair guy. But, you know, it's just the contract part of it. And so far this offseason, they've traded for Eric Halla and Nick Hague, and they've sent out, you know, Sissons and Lazan. There's still some, you know, free agency tomorrow, so we'll see what they do in free agency. But I still look at what Barry Trotz said last week, talking about, you know, trying to get that winning feeling back and getting back in the playoff mix, and how he feels like, you know, they've got too good of a team right now to be as bad as they were last year, and you can't tell him they don't have good players and all this other stuff. I get it. But that forward group, and specifically that center ice group they've got right now, is not a playoff group. I mean, The Athletic came out last week, kind of in the midst of all this draft stuff, and looked at their actual roster, and they ranked center icemen in the league through quality, 1 through 32. And you know who was dead last in 32nd? The Nashville Predators. Like, that's not a playoff group they've got down the middle right now.
Yeah, and, I mean, we're going to get to the draft and all that. I think if you're a fan who is hoping, like, Brady Martin can be part of the answer this year, I mean, you know, I think
that's optimistic.
We can get into it, but I think that's optimistic. The YouTube chat, just getting into everything again, you know, as I get back into this. YouTube chat is just popping today. And,
yeah.
And there's some people talking about Barry has got to be tanking. He is not tanking. If you're serious, yeah, he's not tanking. He's definitely not tanking.
No.
Everything said would strongly rebuke that. And, again, like, there's more to the picture that we haven't seen. Don't know what it is. But, like you said, unless you address that, and I don't know exactly how you do without another trade that's like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But unless you do, it's just a huge deficiency right now for a team that – is paying a lot of money for other pieces that obviously some of them may bounce back next year. But how do they bounce back enough if you aren't stronger down the middle?
Well, and Trotz is taking a lot of heat on our text line right now. He's taking a lot of heat on the YouTube chat. And Joe, before all this even happened last night, I knew that this was going to be a show where Trotz was going to take a lot of heat. Because we're going to talk about the Brady Martin pick coming up. And you had James Higgins, Porter Martone still on the board. And you think back to everything that's happened over the past year. Remember, it was a year ago today that we started talking about, you know, with a lot of seriousness, the idea of Steven Stamkos becoming a Nashville Predator. And even a year ago today, the March or so part of it really hadn't even entered our thought process. That happened on the morning of July 1st. We were like, hey, March or so, could that be something too? That's tomorrow a year. Think about everything that's happened in a year since then. And here's the other thing. Think about moves that they've made since then that have gone right. Not very many of them. I mean, we'll see maybe what's the best move they've made in the last year. Moving on from Wedgwood and getting Onanen.
Okay.
Like, is that the best one?
There you
go. I'm serious. Like, that might be the best one with the way that things have played out. I mean, I'd have to go back move by move, but there ain't very many of them to choose from. And look, I don't know if – and maybe Nick Hague comes here and he's exactly the type of player that they're missing on defense, and they just become a whole lot more difficult to play against and more difficult to get to the middle of the ice. And there's no doubt they needed to upgrade their defense. We'll see if they've done it here or not. But Trotz is under fire from this fan base right now. Absolutely under fire. And I understand it. I really do. Like, he's on a run right now of bad moves. And then you look at it if you're a fan and you say, So far, your answer this offseason is Eric Halla, who has been here before and, by the way, had a bad year last year. And Nick Hague, who is a third-pair defenseman that you just gave $5.5 million per year to. That's what Preds fans are thinking right now. What are you doing?
And maybe if you had drafted the guy you should have drafted, there'd be some better feeling. But, yeah, it's, you know, it feels a little bit – I don't know if it's quite that. And certainly with specifically if you just isolate the pick, I don't think it's that. But I am getting Mike Mayock vibes a little bit. I'm getting some Mike Mayock vibes, okay, for anybody who's a Raiders fan.
Yeah.
Just like, does everything have to be – you know, against the grain, like, no, we're going to do it differently. I mean, again, I'm not saying that's the reasoning for these moves, but it's like sometimes, like, the obvious answer is the best answer.
Buster on the text line says, I also like the trade. The exchange money has the Preds paying like $700,000 more, so the Ekblad dream is still alive. It also opens up a roster spot for Molendijk, who will be on the roster this year. Well, I don't know that it really does anything for Molendijk. Like, you've swapped out one defenseman for another. So I don't think it changes the Molendijk equation all that much. You know, Molendijk, I think, is going to have a chance to make the team anyway. So I don't think any differently of that right now. He's going to have a chance.
I think we'll see. They really need him to make the team to me.
Yeah.
Like, they need a young guy.
Andrew Burnett has wanted him to be on the team the last couple of years. I think they're going to give him a long, hard look to make the team coming up. So I don't think it changes the Molendijk part of this all that much. I understand when you look at the money exchanged that it's not like the Predators are paying that much more money now than they just were with Lozon and Sissons under contract, but it's more about the allocation of the money. So now that you've got Josi at over $9 million, Brady Shea at $7 million, and Nick Hague at $5.5 million, are you then going to turn around in free agency and go sign another defenseman for $6, $7, $8 million? That just seems like a lot of money to have on the back end right there, to me.
I think you said earlier, and I think that this means, yeah, it's going to be – they're filling this out with young guys in the back end, for better or for worse, which to me means, man, you better do some work with the forward group. Like, you know, I'm with you. I don't even think they're going to get into the Ekblad pursuit.
Oh, and Ekblad may have no interest whatsoever in coming
well,
here.
Well, sure.
That's the other part of this.
But I don't even think – I think that this takes that off the table.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because I thought that he would have been very worthwhile as a pursuit. But, I mean, to me, it's like, okay, then you need to do something major with your forward group. How? I don't know. Who? No idea.
But there's a big hole. Couple holes on that forward right now. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more of your reaction to get to on the Preds, the trade that they made last night with Nick Hague coming in, Colton Sissons, Jeremy Lozon going out. We'll get to that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Fungoed out and around Colin Wilson, who just jumped onto the ice. Pass at center, turned back around by Sissons. Here's Auberg. Sissons, he scores! Pontus Auberg sets up Colton Sissons. It's 2-0 at 8:47. Now a try by Lindholm down in front, and the rebound kicked away to Forsberg. Predators coming back. 4-on-3, but they want to change up on D. So now it's tough. Thor bust up there on the side.
Yes.
And then the score. Pontus Auberg got it back out in front. And the Predators take a 3-1 lead at 3 minutes of the third. 12 seconds remaining in the Anaheim power play. This game tied at 3. On the wall. Take it away, Yarncroak. Yarncroak out to center. Drops for Sissons. Power play about over for the Ducks. Here now is Yarncroak, across for Sissons.
And he scores!
Score!
Oh, my goodness.
The score! And the Predators take a 4-3 lead as they were killing off the remainder of a penalty.
Colton Sissons, baby. The night of his life in the Western Conference Final in 2017.
What a day that was. And, boy, it's really good to hear a lot of Pontus Auberg love, too.
Yeah.
For a while, we called him Pontus Auberg, but then we were corrected. It was Pontus Auberg.
Yeah.
Pontus, who
apparently he played a heck of a game.
He apparently
he's
did.
All over the highlights.
Well, if I remember correctly, you know, in game 5,
yes,
when we're all like, oh, they're screwed. Yep, Johansson's out. And it was Auberg was huge in that game, wasn't
he? Scored.
Yeah. So Pontus and Sissons, by the way.
I think it was also game 5 where they brought like Pontus out to the podium before the game. It was like him and Colin Wilson, I think. And no one asked a single question to Pontus Aberg the whole time in there. And then he goes and scores later that night. Good stuff.
In your face.
Like, screw you, media. I'm going to go out here and score a goal for you in a playoff game.
I miss Pontus and Mika Salamaki. I continually bring him up.
You know, I thought about this last night when I saw the trade. You can make a pretty good argument that the most significant goal and definitely the most significant, you know, non-goal call in the history of the Predators both belong to Colton Sissons.
That's right. That's
in
right.
In the same postseason.
Intent to blow. Yeah.
So.
Hey, Colton Sissons, man. He was a pro. He was a heck of a player. And I think, you know, he's one of those, I think, kind of a fan favorite in terms of, you know, one of the support players.
Oh, yeah.
Versatile guy. I mean, you think about the line he had, you know, with Watson and Bonino, in, you know, like in that 18, that President's Trophy team, for example. I mean, he was a heck of a pro. Great guy to deal with. You know, he'll be missed.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what he can do in Vegas. And then here for the Predators, how do you replace him? Because, you know, they've got your McCarrans of the world that can play down the middle. We know they brought in Halla. So I did, you know, part of the reason when they brought in Halla, I looked at it and I said, huh, that's a little strange. They did have McCarran and Sissons as kind of bottom six guys. And I know Halla can play on the wing or at center, so he doesn't necessarily have to be a center. But now this kind of makes a little bit more sense. You've swapped in one veteran for another veteran, and you've still opened up another spot for a young guy here. But I still, looking at their roster as a whole, I get back to, if you're trying to get back in the mix next year and back in the playoffs and everything that Barry Trotz talked about last week, I still look at their center ice depth right now and I say, like, who's playing with Stamkos? Like, who is getting the best out of him? How are you structuring your lines? And Ryan O'Reilly, as good of a player as I think he is, and we've talked about this 1,000 times, Ryan O'Reilly at this stage of your career does not need to be your number one center. He just doesn't. And if he is, not that he's a bad player, but he's not a number one center at this stage of his career. So,
and by the way, when Barry signed him 2 years ago,
that's what he said.
This year certainly would be the year, okay, now he's downshifting because we've found this answer and this answer, and actually they haven't found anything.
Exactly. So you look at also what's available now. And by the way, some moves that happened over the weekend. Sam Bennett has officially re-signed in Florida. So not that that's any sort of surprise, but if you were a Predators fan hoping that you could get in on that if you made it to free agency, well, he's gone. It looks like Mitch Marner might end up in Vegas.
Yeah,
not that I thought the Predators were ever going to be really in on that to begin with, and he's not a center, so it doesn't help that part of it. But there's not a ton of great options in free agency when it gets down to like helping your team right now at that spot, getting back in the playoffs next year. So is there another trade that Barry Trotz is going to try to cook up here to get this team next season in a spot where they can actually rebound and try to compete? And look, I heard from some Preds fans on Friday night at Bridgestone Arena, which, by the way, great turnout. Appreciate all the Preds fans that showed up there. And maybe you're right in terms of, well, how much better are they just naturally going to be next year? Like, there's no way they're as bad next year as they were this year. And maybe that's the case. I don't know. Maybe, you know, year two for Stamkos and Marchessault and just playing together longer, maybe they're naturally a little bit better. They are older as well. And also, like, you're talking about a team that was a 68-point team last year, which means if they're going to get back in the playoffs, you've got to be somewhere in most years around 94, 95, 96, 97 points.
About a 27-point uptick to feel good about it.
You know how hard that is to do in the NHL, to have a 27-point difference from 1 year to the next? It's pretty hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, obviously I think it's possible. I think it's possible. There are a lot of guys who had just below just average years, right? So subpar. So you can have at least some of them return to about what you would expect, and then you're gonna have to have some pleasant surprises. But again, like, how do those things happen if you're that deficient down the middle?
Right. Well, yeah, also some people asking about the Hague move, and could this be a signal that Roman Josi, either they expect him to maybe not be available at some point this year, or if he's already, like, if they're just going to put him on long-term injured reserve. That's not happening. Like, I mean, I don't think they're sitting here making stuff up when it comes to they feel good about his progress and all those things. Now, how it's going to end up playing out with Josi, with his POTS diagnosis this year, I have no idea. Like, it, you know, Trotz brought up Katie Ledecky last week and how she's been able to handle it. From all the indications that I've gotten, Yossi's recovery here and you know, kind of dealing with this now is going extremely well. So, and I know they put out a video of him over the weekend talking to all the draft picks. Like, they're expecting him to play. Now, we'll see if he's on some sort of management plan at any point. And, you know, Adam has talked about the idea of, like, does he get to a point where maybe he doesn't play in the back-to-backs? I don't know. Like, I have no idea how any of that's going to go. But they didn't make the Nick Hague move because Roman Josi's going on long-term injured reserve in 2 days.
Yeah. Like, so, and I assume people saying that, because a few different people have thrown it out there, maybe does this have something to do with Josi concerns? I guess what? Also, then you would think maybe they are going to go after Ekblad
right
on top of this. But, yeah, I think the plan is just, like a lot of things with the Preds right now, a lot of the strategy is hope.
Yeah.
And the hope is that Roman Josi's playing every game and is great this year.
Yeah, and right now I think that also probably involves him playing on the right. Like, he's playing on the right side. And what is, to me, a phenomenal question as we sit here a day away from NHL free agency, which is why I'm still leaving the door open that maybe they do go add somebody else on defense. I have no idea who Yossi's playing with right now. No clue. Like, it's probably not going to be Brady Shea because they tried that last year and that didn't work. So is it going to be Justin Barron as a top pair guy? Are you moving Josi over to the right and sticking, I don't know, Tanner Molendijk up there? Like, just throwing the kid into the fire? I have no idea who's playing with Josi right now. I don't think it's going to be Nick Hague. I could be wrong, but I don't think it's going to be him.
Josi, third pairing defenseman?
Yeah. Roman?
He can downshift.
Going to have a dramatic reduction in your ice time. Yeah, I don't know.
It'd be a hell of a third pairing.
Could be. Could be pretty good. Oh, the third pairing there. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. More of your reaction on the Predators and the offseason. Plus, we will get into the NHL draft on Friday night as well with Brady Martin, the pick at number 5. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game, brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Preds making some moves this offseason. You got NHL free agency starting tomorrow. I would assume we'll see more trades around the league today. And the Preds, if you missed it, made one late last night. Nick Hague on defense coming in from the Vegas Golden Knights, a 6'6". 245-pound left-shot defenseman, and back to Vegas, Colton Sissons and Jeremy Lozon. So two Preds out, one Pred now in, with Nick Hague coming in, signing a 4-year, $5.5 million per season extension along with it as well.
Every time you say it, it still doesn't seem as real. It doesn't seem more real, but it's real.
I mean, look, the reaction around the league based on what I've seen so far from most people is, my God, that's a lot of money for Nick Hague. And that's what the reaction is. Now, look, sometimes teams make those deals and it seems like a lot of money and it works out. You know, Hague, if he gives you exactly what he's given Vegas, it's hard for me to imagine he's worth that money. I get the idea of it, 6'6". And they need to get bigger on defense. And last year, they need to find a way to not make it as easy to get to the middle of the ice as it was for opponents for them last year. But he's a third-pairing guy. Like, that's what he is. He's been a third-pairing guy his entire career.
I understand the cap going up. I don't understand what he has done to warrant more than doubling his AAV from 2.3, which is about what I think he should still be paid this next year. And I understand in a situation like this, it's going to go up. So, okay, 3.5? Yeah. Four? I mean, maybe it's nitpick because, I mean, it's like, okay, so great. So four, so we're talking about $1.5 million. Doesn't sound like much. Cap is going up. But
that adds up over time. There is
a whole puzzle here, and there's a big need for them to do more. Well, like, they are trying to win now.
There's an account.
That's indisputable, yeah. Right, at this point.
Yeah. I mean, there's an account on X that I like called J Fresh Hockey, and basically he takes analytics and kind of just puts them in a really quick synopsis here. And, you know, he lists out some of the numbers for Nick Hague here, but I'll just read you the description. It says, Nick Hague acquired, signed by the Preds, a very large third-pair defenseman who clears the crease, sometimes drops the gloves, and spends as little time with the puck as he possibly can. This is from Nick Hague, from J Fresh Hockey, the description of Nick Hague there. Which is fine. Like, again, the idea of that by itself is not a bad thing.
Right.
Like, the stay-at-home defenseman whose primary focus is, I'm going to make life very difficult, I'm going to be physical, I'll drop the gloves when I need to, I'm clearing out the crease. There's nothing wrong with any of that. Like, frankly, they need some of that. It's the price that comes along with it. Are we going to look back at this in a few weeks or even a year from now and say, well, I mean, that was just the price of doing business and the cap went up the way it is? Or are we going to look at it a year from now and say, oh, man, they're paying a whole lot of money to Nick Hague out there?
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, it's so much of the answer to that is, like, how other things work out, right? Like, I feel like so much – I feel like the first-round pick that Barry Trotz made, I think the reaction to it, a lot of it is just because of how everything else has gone, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's a little bit of – probably overreaction in the downgrading of Brady Martin by some fans. Like,
he's, there is,
you know, like, I mean, he's a legit prospect. There are people because that things have gone so poorly, right, you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt anymore.
Well, there are people that think, we're going to get to Brady Martin here in just a few minutes, but just kind of like a quick thought on it. There are people that think Brady Martin is like some fourth line grinder that they've drafted here, and I don't think that's the case. Like, he's, go watch him. He's pretty good. Now, is he going to be as good as James Hagans as Porter Martone? I have no idea. So we're going to get into that coming up here in just a few minutes in the 7 o'clock hour. There's a text here that I think is good in terms of this is how a lot of Predators fans feel. It says, I'm not really sure what the plan is for the Predators. Is it a rebuild or are they trying to win now? Because I look at the roster today and all I see is a team that's going to be picking in the top five again next year. They're trying to win now. But to that point, I look at their roster and I say, okay, how do you win now? Right? Like, right now, if they're going to be a team based on the roster currently constructed, and again, it's probably going to change again here in the next 48 hours, but as the roster is currently constructed, if they're going to win next year, it's going to take a heck of a rebound from UC Saros.
Yes.
It's going to take a heck of a rebound from guys like Marchessault and Stamkos. And Forsberg wasn't bad last year,
but he needs to be
a tick better. And it's going to take a heck of an uptick from, not a rebound, but an uptick from LaRue and Svechkov and Evangelista. Like, they're going to have to be really good next year. So can all of that happen? Maybe some of it happens. The idea of all of it happening is pretty far-fetched to me.
Yes. I mean, I guess if all of that happened, you might have a pretty good freaking team. But most of it has to happen anyway, right? Like, most of those things have to happen. And like you said earlier, I mean, at this point, the talk around Svechkov, looking at the lineup, boy, talk about a jump required.
Yeah.
I mean, that just seems like you're putting way too much on him.
And I hope what that is Barry Trotz having a plan in his back pocket of, there's a trade here or a move of some kind that I'm going to try to pull off. And that person is going to be playing with Steven Stamkos. And in the meantime, I'm saying that it's going to be Fedor Svechkov because I don't have any other option on my roster right now. But, I mean, your other option to play with Stamkos down the middle, because Barry Trotz also said last week he does not want Steven Stamkos to play center. And I don't really want Steven Stamkos to play center either if I'm them. So right now your options are Svechkov or Halla. And neither one of those are great options, in my opinion.
No.
If you're going Forsberg, O'Reilly, Marchessault, somebody, either Marchessault or Stamkos, is playing with Svechkov. Which,
and that somebody probably isn't too happy about that. All due respect to Svechkov. Exactly. It's just not ideal.
Well, exactly. You know, we keep going back to comments that either Marchessault or Stamkos made at the end of last year. But, you know, Stamkos was asked about the idea of playing, does he want to play at center or on the wing? And he was, you know, he started with the typical, you know, I'll be whatever they need me to be part of this. But he was like, some of that has to do with who's playing center while you're on the wing. Which I took as, well, yeah, if you go get me, you know, Braden Point, I'll go play on the left wing. I don't really have a problem with that.
Yeah.
That's a far cry with where they're at right now with their center depth. So, again, it's June the 30th. It's the busiest part of the offseason. They're still, you know, Preds may make five moves today. I have no idea. But where they're at right now with their roster, there's a lot of work left to be done if they're going to be a team that, again, as I call it, not just flirting with a playoff spot next year and happy to be there, but has a legitimate chance to be dangerous. There's still some work to do.
Is there anyone – we talked a lot about Sam Bennett previously. As expected, you know, he's back.
Yep.
8-year deal with Florida. Is there anybody in the free agency pool that could seriously change the math for this team at center?
I don't think so. I mean – no.
They're going to have to pry someone from someone.
Yes.
That makes a difference. And that's just not easy to do.
I mean, your best free agent centerman is probably Granlund.
There you go. Full circle.
Yeah. I mean, no lie. I'm looking at the list right now. That's it. That's your best free agent centerman that's still on the board.
How old is Granlund now?
Granlund, I believe, is like 32 about to be 34.
Right? Okay, all right. He's up there now.
I mean, he would fit in with the rest of the roster.
That's true. He'd actually bring the average annual age down.
Yeah, he's 33. He'll be 34 in February. So,
come on in.
But he's legitimately the best center option on the table. Like, Claude Giroux is going back to Ottawa. And even he's 37 at this point, so he's not, you know, it's not what he used to be. Your other options at center are like Mason Appleton, right? Like, and most people listening have no clue who that is. So, I mean, there's some interesting wingers out there, like Nikolai Ehlers. We've had somebody text about him.
Yep, sure.
What's going to end up happening with Marchand? Like, I don't think the Predators are going to be in the mix for that. Brock Besser is going to be out there, but again, not that you can't sign wingers, because they need a lot of help everywhere. But the distribution of the puck and where they're at center right now, it's of paramount importance. Like, they're just not in a good spot with that right now. But they, you know, there could be an option to add to center that we're going to talk about coming up next, maybe as soon as next year. We'll get into that coming up. 615-737-1025. We will get into the NHL draft. The Predators select Brady Martin at pick number 5 with Porter Martone and James Hagans still on the board. Your reaction to that? Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.